You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Everybody, and welcome back to RBLR USA. As always, my name is Phil Zipper, alongside me is Matt Gannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. And we may not have Lightning hockey to talk about right now, but boy, do we have some great hockey to talk about. Team USA coming home, not just as gold winners, but as double gold winners with both the men's and women's team coming home with the victories. Boy, what a week, couple of weeks of hockey it was, and it could not have been a better ending for Team USA. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
How could you be any better? I mean, I've been pretty bad, I must admit, the last, 24 hours or so about the amount of time that I've spent on social media. It's been a disgusting amount of time consuming nothing but content that's being put out from Team USA and all the glorious memes that that fans are putting up. It has been an amazing weekend, man. Matt, how you doing?
I'm like you said, it's hard to be much better than this. I hope you're staying hydrated, Joe. I saw you were at a bar at 8 a.m. I hope you're staying hydrated. I know I am, with all these Canadian tears keeping me from being parched. It has been a wonderful, not 24 hours, but ever since the U.S. women's won the gold against Canada. It has been a fun week since we have last spoke.
Hydrated, well lubricated. It was a very good time. It was amazing how packed all the bars were in Tampa in general. I'm sure you guys saw from Hat Tricks. Mm-hmm. I think John Gruden was actually at Hat Tricks for the game, and then McDitton's, just to name drop a couple bars, had 150 people queued up outside at 7:30.
Good Lord. Just goes to show you what the Olympics truly do and how much of a uniting thing it can be. And people who don't even watch hockey normally, watching the sport and rooting on Team USA for gold. It's just such a really, really cool thing to do and see. And the extra bonus is USA got to bring home the gold medal in both for the men's and women's team to do it at the same. By the way, some iconic photos coming out of these Olympic Games, which I want to get to. By the way, welcome everybody in who's joining with us live here today. Don't forget, drop your comments down below. We want to hear you guys in the comment section. We'll try to get your comments on screen, so make sure you join us live. And if you're not with us live, follow us on social media at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Lightning. Like, subscribe, ring the bell for notifications, all that good fun stuff, so you do know when we are live here and you can join us and hang out with us while we talk some great hockey. Let's start with the women's tournament, though, quickly, because I do want to hit on that since that was the first one to wrap up. Their tournament goes a little bit early. So many of these games, too, it wasn't even just the gold medal game was a really good game. All the games were really, really entertaining. And you go to that USA-Canada women's game in the gold medal game, and that's a USA team that had basically blown every single team out of the water that they played. Heck, they beat Canada earlier in this tournament 5-0. We talked about this last week. And then that gold medal game, it's a one goal game, but then you get that iconic goal by, I believe it was Keller, correct, who scored the game winner. Yeah. For the tournament, and that iconic photo, because boy, was that a nasty move that she pulled off to put that puck in the back. If you haven't seen it, go find that video. It's unbelievable. But just a great hockey game for the women's in USA Canada, and to be topped off by a goal like that, that's the best of the best. That's the best hockey you're going to see in a tournament like that, which is just awesome.
Yeah, the script writers went crazy with all the games on both sides, with how many overtime wins and come from behind wins, everything that happened. They could not have written any of these games any better than they actually did. Maybe not the the semifinal game for the U.S. That was a bit boring for the opposing team anyway. But no, I mean, just speaking on the women's game, that was – it was scary. It was a nail-biter. Truly, truly was. Like, he didn't want to be shut out in the gold medal game. It seemed like the U.S., they were the better team through the whole game. We'll get to some of those quotes later. But, man, just what an effort by Hillary Knight. Of course, it just had to be Hillary Knight to get that late tying goal just as they pulled the goalie, too. And just an incredible, beautiful goal by Megan Keller to get the goal in overtime. I think I might have had a better reaction for that goal than I did for Jack Hughes' goal. First, probably because I didn't really see the Hughes goal go in with my own two eyes. I had to kind of wait for a reaction. But that move, yeah, it was spectacular. Just what an ending to that game. What an entire game, but specifically the ending.
I feel the exact same way about those goals, too, where you could see the Keller goal where the momentum was building, where the move was taking place. Mm-hmm. Is this going to work out? And then to bury it with something like that, that was a special moment. For the women's, they've been one of the top teams for quite a while now in international and Olympic play, going back and forth with Team Canada essentially for you know past few Winter Olympics. I think they lost last year, but the year before that they got gold, if I'm not mistaken. And they continue to be a really strong program, and it's great seeing you know how well they are doing, because there's quite a few people on that team that have been in the sport for quite a while.
Yeah, and it's not even like it's on the men's side where you've got the two top dogs and kind of a clear top dog in Canada, but plenty of other candidates and teams that can surprise you no matter what, who they have, no matter if they've got 25 or 5 NHLers. Like, they've got good programs with the women's teams, international teams. It's kind of U.S. and Canada, and then just fend for yourself if you're not them. And you said one of the top teams? No, I think the U.S. is the top team. Of course, winning gold and doing pretty well in this tournament, you're going to say that. But even still, before this tournament, the U.S. women's team, I think they beat Canada 6 times in a row in friendly matches and whatever, going back to the previous 2 years or something, and all the times they've played each other. No, the U.S. women's team is the team to beat right now. They are the top team.
Yeah, and that's fantastic, Steve, for the Team USA hockey program in general, to have a women's team that is that good and continue to inspire a lot of young girls who maybe want to get into hockey and play that, and hopefully they can continue their dominating ways as we move on to future Olympics. But big congratulations to them. They played absolutely fantastic. Quick comment here from Daniel saying that the women dominated from start to finish, and they really did. Even though that last game was only 2-1 and it was close for the gold medal game, overall they were absolutely fantastic. It was only 2 goals against that they had in that entire tournament. I mean, that is really, really impressive to be able to do something like that at the biggest stage in the Olympics. So big congratulations to them. And then, with the men's tournament, before we kind of get to the gold medal game and hitting on that a little bit, a lot of those games, guys, were also really, really entertaining. We had a lot of overtime games, a lot of close games, had a couple blowouts here and there mixed in, which you're going to expect when you have some disparities when it comes to NHL players playing in these Olympic games. But overall, again, a lot of entertaining games, especially in those later rounds to even get to the gold medal, which is so, so good for the sport of hockey to grow the game. People, there's a lot more eyes on it during the Olympics, and it just makes you wonder why the NHL had held out their players for so many years. It took so long to get them back to the Olympics. I'm very glad they got to participate this year.
I'm glad, but it is pretty obvious why they held them out. When you get guys like Victor Hedman, Sidney Crosby,
Kevin Fiala.
Oh, yeah, and that one was brutal. Getting injured, it's, making sure that you're taking care of your investment when you're a team owner. So you don't want that investment going off and getting hurt when it doesn't directly benefit you. One of the strangest things about all this is the inability for the NHL to be able to highlight any of their players because all the rights were owned by NBC. And we talked about it last time, and it actually continued again, where you basically get the stick figure drawings to show goals. But I mean, what's in it for the owners? This is great for the fans. Great way to to grow the sport, but I just hope that they still let them do it again, you know, for in four more years, because if I'm an owner, you know, that's tough.
I'd be pretty confident that, you know, in 4 years, where is that, in Paris or in France, that the NHL players will be back. This around as compared to the last, what, 14 years, however long it had been, or 12 years, you've got a different NHLPA head. You've got Marty Walsh up there, who actually seems like he cares about his job and cares about the players, that they're going to fight harder to be and stay in the Olympics. I can't remember the previous NHL head, NHLPA head, but it seemed like he would just bow down to the owner's commands. That's why there were lockouts and everything. Or I guess not why there were lockouts, but Marty Walsh, he seems like he wants to fight for the players, and the players want to fight for themselves as well. And you ask any player, even a player that has zero chance of playing for Team Canada, USA, or wherever it might be, have zero chance of playing for them, they'll say, yeah, we want to be at the Olympics. We want NHL players at the Olympics. It should be best on best. We're going to try our best to keep it best on best.
And I mean, look at what came out of this. I mean, there's so many players that, you know, had these magical moments and enjoyed it. Yeah, I think that a lot of them would be willing to give some stuff up in order to do it again, for sure.
And the injuries suck, of course. And I don't think we've gotten a big update on Victor Hedman yet. I don't think the injury was too serious, thankfully. But we'll find out more as the Lightning return to a normal full practice. But my argument is, and I'll use Gensel as an example because this is a Lightning podcast overall, but is there could be plenty of fans out there that saw Gensel playing for Team USA that were not Lightning fans or not hockey fans in general, and said, you know what, maybe I want to check this guy out. I live in Tampa. They're going to be playing a game soon. And that's where it benefits the owners, is you're growing the game. You're going to make more money when more eyes are on the game and more people are coming into the sport. And the Olympics is one of the best ways to do that, because, Joe, you mentioned all the bars packed out at 8 a.m. in the morning to watch that game. So hopefully they will be able to continue to play. But for right now, we can enjoy these current Olympics. And let's talk about that gold medal game. Because boy, it was another one that was a lot of fun. Team USA going up 1-0 almost immediately, very early in that game, which I did not have happening. And then you had how many different things? You had the 5-on-3 for Team Canada, which how on earth did they not score with all their firepower in that game? Sidney Crosby, of course, not playing in this game as well. The extended power play for the USA, then overtime, the goal there. Just a very, very entertaining game. And, of course, the biggest person to talk about in that gold medal game, Connor Hellebuyck. I mean, absolutely unbelievable what he was able to do. For my money, he is the MVP. He is the runaway person that won USA the gold in this game. I mean, he was unstoppable, just one goal allowed. And then that one iconic picture of him with the paddle back, stopping that shot that was a wide open net.
I mean, literally the paddle save that would be heard around the world. That was ridiculous.
It matches the save that Braden Holtby made in the Stanley Cup winning game in 2018, or the Marc-Andre Fleury save in Game 7 back in, what, 2009. Just like, I know it wasn't at the tail end of a game or anything, but it was literally a game-saving save. Like, that's the gold medal winning save right there. Anything bad I've ever said about Connor Hellebuyck, and I don't say much bad about him, but, like, he's proved a lot of doubters wrong, saying he can't get it done in big moments, this and that. Man, he has shut the entire world of detractors up right there. He has proved that he has ice in his veins. I mean, I was already a big Connor Hellebuyck fan. I was kind of in the party of maybe he can't get it done in big games, and he's effectively shut me up too, because what a performance he put on.
Oh, you said that so well. I mean, we've seen for a number of years he's always one of the top goalies in the league, Vezina candidate, over and over and over again. And then when it comes to playoffs, he can fall short, his team can fall short, but that was a performance literally for the ages. I mean, that so huge, man. There's not even words I can describe half the stuff that happened and the emotions that you feel behind it. A save like that, you know, just the backside of your paddle when it's that close of a game, when Canada's pushing that hard against the U.S. And, you know, the full quote from MacKinnon was actually better than, you know, the partial quote of the better team didn't win today. You know, that was a small snippet of a much bigger conversation he was having. And he was kind of saying that's how the game sometimes goes. but that's the way it really was. The better team on the ice wasn't Team USA, but a couple of really clutch and key players came up huge and made all the difference.
Yeah, Canada really did dominate this game. I would say you can argue that USA won the first period. I mean, they had the 1-0 lead after the first period. I thought they played a pretty good first 20 minutes, but no question from the second period on, it was the better team. But at the end of the day, that doesn't win you the game. What wins you the game is having more goals than the other team, and that's what Team USA did. They capitalized on their chances. And you mentioned McKinnon, Joe, and Ethan, kind of a funny comment here saying, why not talk about crybaby McKinnon playing after the game? We'll get to it for sure, but I do want to highlight, you know, a lot of Team USA's victory and what they were able to accomplish. But Hellebuck was fantastic. Of course, Jack Hughes, who scores the ultimate game winner goal. Man, what a couple of days for him. You know, you get your teeth knocked out, you get that iconic photo. He has said multiple times that he is going back to a dentist, and it's he's very happy that the U.S. has great dentists to be able to fix his teeth, which I thought was pretty funny. But
I think he should melt part of his metal down and replace it with the missing tooth, you know, get a little bit of gold one right there.
You don't want to do that to your metal just yet, though, right? That would be pretty funny, though, to do that.
I mean, that picture is going to be iconic, right? That's one of the – there's so much emotion in that picture, the smile, the flag, just the way that it was taken. I mean, if people were still paying attention to, like, Time Magazine and other publications that were in print, I think that would be, like, the picture of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Because what more can you possibly say that can't be summarized in that? The grit, the determination, the sacrifice is all literally written into that, into his face. And so is the exuberation that you feel from winning. And then how well did he represent his country in the interviews? It's all about team. It's all about country. And having, you know, the flag draped around him, that picture says so, so, so much about what actually happened in that game.
To the soldiers, too, in one of his later interviews as well. Yeah, 100%.
And just got to say, I know he didn't do most of his growing up here, but he's a product of Orlando, Florida. Same with Quinn Hughes as well. True. Same with Luke Hughes. They were all born in Florida. I'm not sure about Luke, but I know the two of them were born in Florida. So, you know, a little bit of Florida getting represented on the international stage in the biggest moment, too.
And, you know, I think that for, what, the past, like, 12 years now, TJ Oshie's kind of been the sweetheart of USA Hockey Olympic performances. Got a new guy that's going to be holding that for a long, long time.
Comment here from Lisa saying that there's a respect for Jack now. And then Ethan also chiming in and saying, and Matt Boldy might be his new favorite player. Yeah, you know, that's a big part of this too, right? So many guys who kind of get new eyes on them. A lot of people from the NHL already kind of know those players, but if you don't really watch some of the other teams, you get to see these guys up close and personal, and it's great for them to have those moments. But
that Boldy move, where did that come from? That was ridiculous to be able to have the eye hand coordination and then accelerate through both defending players to be able to get the partial breakaway. Wow!
And who were those two defensemen? Some guys named Cale Makar and Devon Taves. Like, not an easy feat at all to do.
No, two of the best defensemen in the NHL right now, and he is just able to cruise right through them and make an unbelievable play to get that goal. Also, I should mention, too, I've loved seeing – Joe, you were talking about being on social media and soaking up all the Team USA stuff, but, you know, it's everybody. You know, like even the MLB posted a video of a broadcast talking about Hughes, who was at one of the games – he did have a Yankees hat on. I guess I can forgive him for that for right now. He's at one of the games, and the MLB's posting about it. Like, again, this, you talk about growing hockey, which I think the NHL has been much better about their marketing as of late, but this is no question the best thing that they could do for the game and how much it has helped grown it in this moment, especially with Team USA winning. By the way, on George Washington's birthday.
Yeah.
Exact same time that they were able to win Miracle on Ice 42 years
46
ago, 46 thank you. I mean, just iconic is really what it was. Iconic. It was such a fun game to watch. And by the way, we have to talk about Jake Guentzel for the Tampa Bay Lightning representing Team USA, or on Team USA representing the Lightning. You know, even though he didn't score a goal or have an assist in that gold medal game. He was fantastic, had a goal in this Olympic event. He was playing on that line with Austin Matthews and who was the third person?
Boldy, I think.
Boldy. They were really good, that line, in that gold medal game. So shout out to Jake Gensel for the representation for the Lightning and winning gold and bringing some gold back to Tampa.
Little bit of, obviously, we got to talk about a little bit of Lightning on Lightning action as he ended up having to pull down Marianne Hagel. But, man, I thought it was a penalty beforehand with the I'm trying to think of who it was, and I had it – I paid McDavid. Attention earlier. It wasn't McDavid that did the stick check on him, was it? That did a stick check on Gensel right before in the neutral zone that caused him to stumble. It wasn't Hagel because okay. Hagel's was on the back side. But either way, big stick check that didn't connect with the puck ended up pulling down Gensel, and then in his recovery, Hagel was there to be the opportunist, and Gensel took him right out. And it was one of those moments too where if he didn't take him out. There's a pretty good chance that Hagel would have had a clean look at the net. We all know how dangerous he can be, especially on like breakaways, partial breakaways. We've seen it so many times when we were shorthanded as Lightning fans. But then that feeling too that, oh no, they're going to get a power play and it's going to be because of a Lightning player that did it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it kind of softened the blow when Charlie McAvoy ended up in the box, 20 seconds later for an extended 5-on-3 penalty kill. It maybe softens the blow a little bit, being, the Lightning homers we are, like, oh, it's really Charlie's fault if they scored. Thank God they didn't.
Yeah, luckily, Team USA's penalty kill and Connor Hellebuck did a fantastic job at stopping that 5-on-3, which I did not think was going to happen. I'll be the first to admit, I thought the USA was screwed in that moment. You give Canada 5-on-3 for that long. I mean, you think that they're scoring 100% of the time. But
well, speaking of 100%, that was exactly what the PK was for the United States for the entirety of the tournament.
Defense wins championships.
There you go. Defense wins championships. That is something special. By the way, I know another team that's got a really good penalty kill right now, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are returning – to their game very, very soon. But let's keep talking about the Olympics for now because there's still a lot more to get to. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other Bolts, actually, who were playing in that gold medal game. Of course, Brandon Hagel and John Cooper, who was coaching Team Canada. Was it you, Matt, who said in our chat, you feel for those guys? And I said, not really. Congratulations to all of the Bolts who played in these Olympic events. I think everybody really did a great job of making the Lightning proud and their fans for how they play at the Olympics. And, it is a bummer for Hagel and Cooper, but those guys have won. Well, specifically Cooper has won so much that, I think that softens the feel bad for him a little bit. They have had a lot of success. Now they come home and get a better silver trophy.
Perfect.
But speaking of Cooper, actually, I was talking to Dan, who's in the chat earlier, and he brought up kind of a good point. He was saying, does losing the gold medal game hurt Cooper's legacy? Does he get the chance to coach them again? And makes you wonder, if he had made some decisions differently, if, things could have been a little bit different in terms of results on ice, because he basically didn't play the fourth line at all for the majority of that game. And maybe sending someone like Bennett and Marchand out there more in the third period could have benefited him. Not saying that necessarily would have, but what do you guys think about his chances for being head coach of Team Canada again?
I mean, I would, if it were up to me, I would probably have him as my front runner. I don't think he did anything wrong. I'd argue more about the GMs, the roster construction. I don't think Canada's defense was all that great, leaving off guys like Bouchard and Schaefer, and that's what a lot of Canadians are saying right now. There wasn't enough like puck movers. They had Colton Parayko and Travis Sanheim and old Drew Doughty. Josh Morrissey was injured for pretty much the whole tournament. He's a really good puck mover, offensive defenseman, and it's not just the defense either. I don't think any of this falls on Cooper. A lot of Canadians have his back, and a lot of salty Canadians that don't like the Lightning have his back. They say it's not on him. Like, and the World Cup of Hockey is actually only 2 years away now, too. I guess you could maybe, give Paul Maurice a try, but I think Canada, he's such a Cooper is such a embedded with Team Canada. He's, a guy's guy. He's part of that organization of Hockey Canada. I don't see why they would stray away from him. I think it's really just the roster construction and the GMs of Doug Armstrong. I know Julian Breesbaugh had his hand in it as well, but I don't think it falls on Cooper.
It'd be like saying that Bill Belichick would not coach for the Patriots and just because he lost one Super Bowl. Like, does this hurt his legacy? Absolutely not.
No.
Has won at every single level. Let's not forget he helped Canada win the Four Nations tournament. Just what was it, 2 years ago or whatever
last
it was?
Year.
Last year. So no, I do not think it hurts his legacy at all. And I know I'm biased here, but and I'm with you, Matt. I don't know who else would really be the front runner for that. I mean, maybe you do change it up a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that, but Cooper has done such an amazing job. A couple of comments here kind of agreeing with us saying, here's one from Ethan. I don't think Cooper lost that game. I think the players did because there were a lot of shots the players missed, which is absolutely true. They were in perfect position for. Also, let's see, we got a couple other comments here. Lisa saying that Team Canada looked so defeated when they got the medals. They thought they had gold. And listen, they were the better team. They outplayed the USA in regulation. So.
Lisa, what do you think they looked more miserable from, getting the silver or getting the little stuffy that they got handed afterwards?
The stuffed animal completely.
I know every single player that medaled in all the games ended up getting one, but that is – it's already – probably like the absolute worst medal to win. Silver in hockey, you get off the ice a loser knowing that you could have had gold, and it's got to take weeks for you to think that, okay, at least we got a silver. But you get off the ice as a loser, and then you also get handed one of those things. It's so strange that they know, the timing of it.
Do other Olympics do that? Because this is like one of the first times I've ever seen. Because it's the mascot for Italy, I believe.
Someone I know looked it up. They said that it was the mascot from Italy that was designed by children, and that basically every single year this is something that they do. It might just not be something that we either remember or picked up on, or they had better timing when they were handing it out because they didn't do it right in the face of defeat.
It definitely got a lot more attention with that this year. The funniest thing I saw from that was somebody tweeting out that no person was in more danger than the stuffed animal that was handed to McKinnon in that line.
Oh, I say Ethan like, just quoted that too.
Oh, did he? Yeah, so there you go. Oh, yeah, right here. The video of McKinnon when he got the stuff, he was hilarious. Yes, it was entertaining. By the way, quick comment here too. Daniel saying that he hasn't won at every single level anymore. I mean, yes, I guess technically because the Olympics is different from the four nations. But, you know, he's still won silver, which is a big accomplishment still. And again, you know, if you look at all that he's won and you say, oh, well, he only got second at the Olympics. You know, that's
if it were any other country, arguably even the U.S., getting silver in men's ice hockey at the Olympics is an accomplishment. But for Canada, it's gold or bust, which
I get it. I'm biased, but there's
well, also like that too, specifically a very, very, very tight game where they had. What was it? 42, 41 shots.
I think it was 40-20. I'm pretty or yeah, darn yeah. Near 20 shots separating
and
them.
And something I don't know the answer to, McAvoy saved one of those pucks when he yes. was in the crease that hit him. I don't think that goes on the shot count because it didn't get saved by the goalie, right? Because you can't credit the save to somebody that didn't. What's that?
He hit the side of the net. I don't think you can count that as a shot on goal.
No. McAvoy went behind Hellebuck when Hellebuck was down and out.
Got hit by
a puck to keep one out. So, I mean, he has a save to his to his stat sheet. But, yeah, I mean, it was such a tight game that one is harder.
Daniel also following up with that saying, Cooper himself said it was gold or bust for Team Canada. Well, doesn't surprise me that he did say that. But again, it's still, of course, you're going to say that. Of course, it hurts in the moment, but there's no question that this doesn't hurt his legacy, even though it stings. And I'm sure that one will haunt him a little bit, but there's no question he did a great job. Team Canada did a great job. They played really, really good.
My two cents on it, though, that's not going to be the last time that he coaches Team Canada. And the U.S. did an absolutely amazing job. It was a miracle in its own right. But Coop will end up winning at that level.
I think at the absolute worst nightmare scenario, he's an assistant coach on one of these teams in the future, not even for 4 years, but 8 years from now, he'll definitely be behind the bench at some capacity. Maybe not the head coach.
That win, and they'll win gold when he's behind the bench.
Yeah, there's no chance that within the next two Olympics that Canada doesn't get a gold. So, and yeah, while we're on the topic of John Cooper, he did have a quote saying on the three-on-three, he said, there's a reason why we don't have it in the playoffs. What do you guys think about that?
I don't think I ever said it on this show, but I said before the gold medal game even started, I 100% agree with that. Like any Canadian that says it shouldn't have been 3-on-3, I 100% agree. I do not think 3-on-3 overtime for – because the NHL, you don't have it for the postseason. You want this to be a pure hockey moment. And 3-on-3, as fun as it can be, is for to make the game go quicker, have those more bigger moments, if you will, more fun events. I'm not wording that right, but I get
and
it.
And also getting it wrapped up before the closing.
Right, yeah. for the closing ceremony.
The closing ceremony was like 5 hours after the end of the game. Like,
it was 5 hours after the start of the game.
Okay,
I'm 100% with you. I don't think it should be 3-on-3 overtime. But also, dem de rules.
Okay, two things regarding that, though. One, that's how they got into the finals, because in the semifinals, Nathan MacKinnon lifted a stick into his own face and then was trying out to get an Oscar for acting as it brushed up against him. And if it wasn't for going to OT on that one and then getting the big winner, his 3-on-3 in that scenario. But also, like, the media has been really terrible, I think, this whole Olympics. And the questions that they asked players, coaches, that was Cooper's reaction to a question that was asked of him, not something that he went on stage and started talking about on his own. Good old attorney side of – let's say that again.
The media knew what they were doing with that question.
Yeah, I mean, and it kind of came down to the same thing where, I feel a little bit from MacKinnon in terms of that his quote got, snipped one sentence of something, a bigger point about how they're all, how they're playing. But, yeah.
I don't feel for him.
Well, I mean, just being misrepresented your intentions and what you're trying to say. And so for Cooper, it was, a similar thing where, he wouldn't go up there and say that on his own. But as part of a bigger, a bigger question, did you see some of the, now there's a kind of a famous meme where it was, Quentin Hughes asking for another beer up on stage. Did you guys see that?
No.
He's like pointing to his beer, asking for someone to, while his brother, yeah, one more, well, during that exact sequence, the media was asking, Austin Matthews about, what winning this game and how is he going to take this back into Toronto, having played, like this hard. And he's like, I'm just trying to live in this moment right now, guys. We're not talking about NHL. And then, immediately Jack came to his side saying like, look, this guy's a champion now. He's a winner. He's won gold. There's so many ambush questions by the media for all the athletes that they did a disservice to, I think, quite a few people.
That's cool, though. Like, guys you never play with or maybe have zero relationship at all with, and you, like, actually, build a friendship with and build camaraderie with over the span of 3 weeks, and now at the end of the day, like, you guys are boys for life. I don't know what, Jack and Austin's relationship is or was before this tournament, but still, it's cool to see that. And I said it in our chat earlier. I've been a D1 Austin Matthews hater my whole life. It's fun, and I'm good at it, but, man, he did a really good job of shutting me up. Even Jack Hughes, I've got my criticisms with him, but man, even like Matthew Tkachuk, I found myself cheering a little bit every time he did something good. It's over and done with now, but a lot of these players definitely shut me up, and I just love seeing that the camaraderie that they have built, putting NHL beefs or whatever it might be behind them and fighting for the ultimate stage of hockey.
Jack impressed the hell out of me throughout the entire tournament. I guess one of my buddies that's a really big Devils fan was saying that he's been through a lot the past few years dealing with injury after injury after injury, and basically for the Olympics was finally when he was told that he can take off the brace he's had on his wrist And then you just see him play so much better.
Did he even play in the Four Nations last year? I can't remember. I know Quinn Hughes didn't, but I can't remember if Jack Hughes did. Wow. And one real piping hot take that I have too, maybe it's not too hot, but I swear if Point and Sorelli played in this tournament, that Canada would have won. I mean, can you seriously sit here and tell me Sam Bennett and Seth Jarvis did much of anything good at all? Those are the two names that
if it wasn't for Sam Bennett, we wouldn't have the most iconic photo in like the last 40 years of hockey.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he got the
hell out of Jack.
Michael said to me during that game, and he goes, "I bet Canada wishes they had Cirelli now."
Right? No, I seriously, you know, totally believe if maybe even just Braden Point or Anthony Cirelli, just one of the two, were on that team, Canada probably wins this.
The only thing I wonder with is, like, we don't know where he's at health wise. Like, obviously, he didn't go in this tournament, so like. Was Point, if he played, would he have been able to really contribute, like a Crosby kind of situation? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hard to say, but I do tend to agree with you, Matt, that obviously there were some missing pieces for Canada, especially Crosby, who was literally at the Olympics and didn't play in that gold medal game.
Yeah, I think he's probably in maybe the same situation as, you know, Sidney Crosby, because these guys play through injuries all of the time, you know, in the NHL, you know, you just kind of, you know, grind through it. But when it's on a huge stage like this, you know, Braden was really humble in his, you know, reason for not going. He's like, I don't think it's fair for me to take a roster spot. You know, maybe you can get away with it for a week or two in the NHL, but you're going to be playing at your hardest every single game. Why should I, you know, be playing at 70% where somebody else, if I'm taking their spots, playing at 100%, probably not a good chance that I'm better than who I'm, you know, taking that spot from. So really commendable by, you know, Braden Point. It's probably got to be the same with Crosby. Of course, he was already on the team, and I think he sat himself out. I'm sure Cooper or whoever, you know, it came down to asked him, are you good enough to play? And he probably said, give it to somebody else.
By the way, when it comes to Cooper and Crosby, I love that the media learned quickly. Like, they clearly didn't realize when you ask Cooper – you're not going to get a straight answer. Like, they asked about Crosby, and he was basically like, we'll see. He didn't tell him anything. And it's like, well, yep, that's Cooper for you. He's not going to tell you until, you know, it's game time.
But it's that attorney in him, man. He's not going to give out information unless he, you know, absolutely has to.
And another one last thing about Canada and Cooper that I have, and in this tournament twice now, and I can remember it being three times now, that Cooper has gotten screwed. John Cooper and his team has gotten screwed by too many men on the ice not being called.
I mean, yeah. So if you go through and watch that replay again, the person that touches the puck is the guy that's still on the ice. The person that's jumping on the ice never got into the play. And then there's people that you can argue that the guy that jumped on the ice was coming on instead of, like, for people that were playing defense. So that wasn't one that was as cut and dry to me, because the person that touched the puck was somebody that was already established on the ice. And
coming off.
Yeah, as opposed to a lot of times when we say it's too many men, it's the guy that has just jumped on the ice, his replacement is still, like, in play, and they don't call that one. So that one, you know, literally, you know, being unbiased and, you know, not trying just to favor Team USA, I rewatched specifically just for that, and I can definitely understand where that one wasn't called.
Well, because this helps my agenda for how we got job in 2022. So
I have a lot more leeway when there's guys like just on the bench or very close to, you know, in those kinds of situations. The ones that was bad this tournament, who was it? Was it
Czech six?
Or yeah, yeah, was it Czech?
There's literally six guys in the huddle of the
celebration.
Like, okay, now that one.
That's rough. Really
yeah, listen,
that one doesn't count.
At the end of the day, you can talk about 3-on-3 all you want. Listen, Canada won some of their tournaments in 4-on-4 overtime. And again, I agree that it should have been 5-on-5, but USA capitalized on their chances, and Hellebuck was as good as he was, and that's why Team USA was able to win the gold medal. That's the bottom line. By the way, I do think the NHL is one of the best when it comes to handling that stuff. Like, they have 3-on-3 overtime to hopefully speed up the game and not go to a shootout, but you have the shootout still, so you don't have stupid ties, which I cannot stand. But then they go back to 5-on-5 once the playoffs start. So I think they're one of the best when it comes to that in handling those situations. So
did you guys see, I think it was Skip Bayless tweeted something about how, you know, it's so cool that the Olympics does 3-on-3 NHL. Are you listening? You guys should do this. That made me laugh.
Well, you
know, some people just shouldn't have opinions.
You do get a lot of new eyes on hockey, which is good, but unfortunately you also get moments like that, which just, it makes you wonder, like, he had to have said that as a joke, right? He had to.
He's a football guy, man. I mean, they're paid for their bad opinions.
Oh, that's true. Speaking of something that has to be a joke, right? The snowstorm that's going on in the Northeast. So, oh man, unfortunately, all the guys, all the USA hockey team had to go to Miami.
That's funny.
They parted in the same spots that the Panthers did for their Stanley Cup victories, which you know, I'm sure Matthew Tkachuk was like, I know where to go, guys. Let's get down in Miami. I got the spots. I got the hookups for you. But hey, you know what? I'm happy that they did get down to Miami and get to celebrate and have some fun.
That seems really cool to like, for that to be your venue after you come home. You know, go to a place that people weren't expecting you to be, and can, you know, be a huge party city. We're like going to, I think they're supposed to fly into New York before, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I think everyone, you know, splits up real quick after you get into the Northeast area, because it's so much easier getting to a lot of the other places.
We do need to bring this up too, because I saw it mentioned, although I don't think people quite understand, because I don't, does the NHL, do you guys know, I know the Lightning play on Wednesday is their first game back. Does the NHL return Tuesday or Wednesday?
I think it's Wednesday for the return for the NHL.
Wednesday, okay. Because there's, I believe both the men's and women's team might be at the State of the Union address, which is happening on Tuesday. And so there was talk about, you know, like, is Austin Matthews going to return to the lineup right away? These Team USA players, are they going to be back? I think they will, because if the NHL returns on Wednesday, and that's it, assuming they go to the State of the Union thing, I don't know. I'm assuming they will. But I think all those players, and I mentioned this because of Jake Guentzel, I expect them to be back. And even if they did miss one game, you know, I don't know. It's,
hey, if Austin wants to miss that Leafs game against Tampa, that's fine by me.
Oh, is that the first game back? You know, it'd be funny. They might end up on the same chartered flight back to back to Tampa together then, instead of anything else. I mean, air travel is so easy for these guys. You know, being able to get either something private, because it's worth the extra expense.
Donnie said he's having the military fly him out if they want.
Well, I heard that, in order to get from Miami on that call. That was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, don't worry. You know, we'll definitely be able to land. I'll get a military flight for you. There's no snow. There's no rain. There's nothing that'll hold us up. But getting them back home might be a little bit of a different story. But I mean, there's so many options. I'm sure they'll be able to get on a flight in order to make it the first thing in the morning, if not even that night, the same night of the State of the Union, in order to get them where they need.
That the women have declined. They are not going, but the men haven't said yet. Okay, so I didn't know that.
They said it was scheduling conflicts. We'll see.
At the end of the day, it's, you know, I'm enjoying these celebrations for both of these Team USA men's and women's teams, because it couldn't have been any better for hockey, and especially America. You know, we own the sport now. It's our sport. Can't take it back.
And one more thing, talk about like celebrating and honoring people. It didn't bring me to tears, but man, it got me a little choked up seeing the Goodrow jersey go on the ice. Oh my God, that was just, you know, pulling out your heartstrings. Remembering what, you know, that family, and what a gesture to do that.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took us this long to really get into it. It was something that, you know, wasn't really on my mind. I was so focused on the game. And then I see Tkachuk and Zach Werenski, former teammates of Johnny Gaudreau's, bringing out the 13 jersey. It was tugging at my heartstrings. It was, I fully admit, you know, definitely a little bit of tears. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And a lot of Canadians, too, that are upset and mad, like, this softens the blow a lot. Like, good for you guys, good for Johnny. Like, it really, it's something so much bigger than a game.
Well, not just the jersey, too. Then they got his kids and brought him out for the team photo, which I thought was really cool. So, yeah, that was an amazing tribute. And, you know, really goes back to, I believe the slogan or one of the parts of the slogan for Team USA this year specifically was unite, right? And that was a big part of showing that unity, unite. And that was a really, really cool moment. So very glad that they did that. And yeah, that definitely had me teary-eyed a little bit when they did that. By the way, the team photo thing, they were all over the place in that team. I don't know if you guys know. It was, they put that thing in the middle, and you know, normally you try to balance them, which is harder to do in a victory moment because guys are celebrating and they're all over the place. But boy, was that team photo unbalanced the way they had them set up. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it took like 5 minutes worth of pictures. It looked like everyone was like scattering. Okay, no, come back. And then they shuffle again. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Jake.
But nonetheless, again, congratulations to both the men's and women's teams for Team USA bringing home the gold. That was a absolutely fantastic Winter Olympics for hockey, and I can't wait for the next round, whether that's Four Nations, the World Cup, the whatever it is. These tournaments have been absolutely outstanding, and it's going to be really fun when we do this all again. And hopefully we can get a Russian team back in this as well at some point. I know with all what's going on with them politically, and but again, that's, you know, the players don't have anything to do with that. And you know, you want to see Kucherov and Vasilevsky be able to compete in these tournaments. Hopefully we can get them back in it too soon.
Known warmonger Nikita Kucherov, says Dominik Hasek.
Right? Yeah, need to get them back in these tournaments hopefully soon.
But one quick silver lining too, just on the international stage, you know, something that makes you feel good and heartwarming is that a lot of impoverished countries just got a whole lot of Canada gold t-shirts and whatnot, but obviously we're not going to get those here in the States or in Canada or something. Is there a place that you can get some cool merchandise, Jake, maybe Lightning related or something?
I'm glad you asked about it, Matt, because Cynthia was asking too, any Olympic merch. Well, we don't have any specific Olympic merch, but if you do want to get some awesome Tampa Bay merch, you can head over to shop.rblrsports.com. Use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Lightning, Bucks, Rays, Rowdy, Sun, team inspired merch, you name it, we got it. You guys get a cool t-shirt, help support the show. We really do appreciate it. I did check out the Team USA merchandise, especially for the gold. There's not much. I don't love it. It's basically just there's a navy for the men's and a white for the women's, which I don't know why they did it that way. There's not just multiple colors for everybody. And then it's in gold, which is okay. But I wish there was some more fun merchandise. I did buy myself a quarter zip, though, for Team USA.
Who was in charge of the apparel? Was it like Nike or Fanatics or somebody?
I'm sure it was Fanatics.
Okay. Yeah, we can't even post Olympic videos. Good luck of RBLR getting Olympic shirts out.
It'd be nice to be able to do something like that, but yeah.
We get a nice letter that says CND on it.
All right, let's talk about quickly before we get ready to wrap here, guys, the because we do get to return to Lightning hockey, like I said, back Wednesday, and the first game will be against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here's the schedule for the Bolts. So they return on Wednesday at home at Benchmark International Arena. That game on TNT, by the way, so a 7:30 start time. And then the Lightning, right out of the Olympic break, they're on a back-to-back. They'll go head off to Carolina to play the Hurricanes on Thursday. That game at 7 p.m. Eastern. And back on the spot, by the way, we have not had a game broadcasted by Dave Randorf and Brian Engblom in like over a month. It's been so long. So it's going to be nice to have those guys back for that game. And then they will play the Buffalo Sabres back home at Benchmark International Arena. That game at 7 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. So those are the next three games coming up here for the Bolts. It's going to be interesting because we've talked about this many, many times over the years. The Lightning and breaks sometimes can be very weird. It'd be interesting to see, you know, specifically the USA and Canada guys, is that fatigue going to hurt them a little bit? We're getting hopefully Point and Sorelli and all those guys will be back in the lineup. I don't know about Nick Paul. They've had 3 weeks, so hopefully they'll be back as well. So we'll see what the lineup looks like, if these guys are ready to go. coming back from the Olympics. We don't know about Hedman as well. So there's a lot of question marks as we return to Lightning hockey, but we are getting it back, which is also very exciting.
I'm looking at the stats here and or the standings, and I don't know that I realized this before, because we had so much going on in terms of the outdoor game and preparing for the Olympics. I'm looking right now, and in the wild card race, actually, which is basically the entire conference, sitting third to last is a little kitty cat team out of Florida.
Yeah.
14 out of 16 teams, the Florida Panthers. Oof.
Oh, that's good. Say it again.
Yeah. 4-6-0 in their last 10. Not looking too sharp. They're how many points are they now out of the wild card? They are currently 8 points out of a wild card, which, we're coming down to it. There's not a whole heck of a lot of games to be played. If my math serves me correct, there's about 25. So making up 8 points in 25 games isn't exactly an easy thing to do. So I don't know.
They're going to tank and they're going to get Gavin McKenna. That's just how it works.
Rigged.
Yeah, it came out that their first round pick they traded to Chicago is top 10 protected once they started really sliding out of the playoff race. Like, oh, by the way, this was a conditional pick. It's top 10 protected, so.
Gregory Campbell moving things around again.
Mm-hmm. Tinfoil hat theory.
Hey, we love a little bit of tinfoil hat theories, right? Well, for the Bolts, they're in a great spot, obviously, the way they've been playing. You want to hit the gas pedal right back into it. No little bump here, but they can, knock on wood, afford it a little bit if it does happen. So, it'll be interesting to see how these guys come back, especially guys like Jake Guentzel and Brandon Hagel, who played the longest in the tournament. But again, the biggest news is that you're going to get guys like Point back. I fully expect Point to be playing in that Toronto game because he was obviously close to playing in the Olympics, didn't. Now he's had 3 weeks. So there's no reason he shouldn't be back unless something happened, which nobody has said anything. So, those are the three games that we have to look forward to here for the Bolts, and we'll be back breaking it all down for Lightning Hockey. It is returning. Guys, anything else before we get ready to wrap here?
No,
I got nothing.
What a week, guys. What a week.
A fantastic week indeed. We hope you all enjoyed it. I know I sure did. Again, we'll be back next week to start breaking down the return of Lightning Hockey, but that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in with us once again and joining us live. Don't forget to follow us on social media at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning. Like, subscribe, ring the bell for notifications, all that great fun stuff. With that said, see you guys in the next one. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.